And welcome to you, and welcome to those worshiping with us on Facebook Facebook Live. And we're in the midst of this series called My Favorite Story. And I think if any of you grew up in the church, you've been to Sunday school, or if you've been around here long enough, if you've looked at the Bible, you probably have a favorite story already. Something that you really resonate with, that you really relate to. And I get to share with you my favorite story. And I love it because it's about an outsider, someone that's totally and utterly on the outside that Jesus brings in as can be. And I relate to this because when I was growing up, especially elementary, middle school, high school, I felt like an outsider. I was short, still have not taken care of that one yet, but I was a little overweight, I wasn't athletic, I wasn't fashionable, I wasn't cool, I was a nerd, I did all, you know, and I just didn't quite fit in. I had friends, but I felt like I was on the outside. And this kind of might sum it up for you. When my wife, when Jess and I went on her first date in our early 20s, we were talking about how we grew up and what it was like. And she's trying to be all humble and she's saying, you know, well, when I was in high school, I was on homecoming court a couple times. I was homecoming queen and prom queen. You know, I'm taking this in. I said, okay, well, I was band president. That's exactly what she did. She laughed at me, and as she should. And, you know, I'm very blessed that she decided to keep dating me and marry me. So I was an outsider. I was an outsider. And I'm sure many of you have felt like or do feel like an outsider. Maybe this week there's a 4th of July barbecue happening in your neighborhood, and you were not invited. Maybe you're looking on social media, you're looking at your Instagram feed, and all your friends are doing something, and you are thinking, wait, I must have missed my invitation to this. I should be there, right? And you feel like an outsider. Maybe you're new to church. Maybe you've been away for a long time. You're coming back, and you're looking around, and everyone seems to know everything about Jesus. They know something about the Bible, and you feel like, I don't think I fit in here. I don't think I know enough. I don't think I'm churchy enough. And you might feel like an outsider. And this story that I want to tell you is from the book of John, and it's called The Woman at the Well. That's how we know it. And it's about someone who was as outside can be. And it shows us how Jesus loves the outsider and wants to bring them inside. Now, it's a pretty long chapter. It's a whole chapter, so I'm going to tell you the story. So Jesus and his disciples are traveling, and they're going through this region called Samaria. And they come to a town, and the disciples go into town to get food, leaving Jesus behind. They're going grocery shopping. And Jesus is there in the middle of the day. He's by a well, and along comes a woman, a lone woman, and she comes to draw water from the well. And Jesus approaches her and says, hey, if you have a moment, can you let down your jar and draw me some water so that I can have a drink? And the woman is surprised, is shocked that Jesus is talking to her. And she says, hey, wait, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. And the passage tells us, the Bible tells us that Jewish people, like Jesus, and Samaritans do not associate with each other. We're going to unpack that a little bit later, but it's surprising, and it surprises this woman, and it would surprise anyone hearing the story in Jesus' time that he'd be talking to a Samaritan woman. And Jesus responds to her and says, hey, if you knew who I was, if you knew what I was about, if you knew what I had to offer, you'd actually ask me for something, and I would give you living water. And you might be confused, and the woman was confused. What's living water? Hey, she says, you don't have anything to draw from the well. It's deep. You don't have a jar. You don't have a bucket. You don't have anything. How are you going to give me living water? What are you talking about? And Jesus says, no, I'm not talking about water. I'm not talking about the stuff that you drink. I'm talking about a spiritual water. You see, you come back to this well every single day. You draw from the water, you drink, but you become thirsty again, so you have to come back. I'm talking about a spiritual water, that when you drink of it, when I give it to you, you'll have a spring, a well, an eternal fount in your cell, inside, that will nourish you into eternal life. And the woman is starting to understand this, starting to process this, and she says, I want that water. That's what I want. I want to not have to thirst again. I want this eternal life. And Jesus makes kind of a left turn, it seems like. He tells her, go get your husband so we can tell him too. And the woman responds and says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus tells her, I know, you're right. You've had five husbands. And the one you're with right now, you're with a sixth guy right now. And the woman, confronted by this, she realizes, Jesus is not supposed, how does he know this? This is a stranger. He just wandered into our town. And she says, sir, I see that you're a prophet. You know things that you shouldn't know. And actually, our ancestors and our leaders and our teachers have told us that someone, a prophet like you, will come one day and he'll teach us how to worship God, how to follow God. Truly, we call him the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one of God. And Jesus, in a shocking turn, looks at her and says, I am he. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. This woman was as outside, you're going to see, as outside could possibly be. And Jesus tells her who he is. He offers her living water, and he brings her into the family of God. And today, for those of us who feel like outsiders, all of us at one time were outsiders and maybe are still outsiders to God's kingdom and to God's family. But here, if you're a note taker today, here's the main thing. Here's what I want you to walk away with. You are not an outsider in God's family. You are not an outsider in God's family. No matter your background, what you believed, what religion you came from or non-religion you came from, no matter what you've done, what you've said, God wants to bring you in. And you'll never be an outsider in his family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to unpack this together and see what God has for us. So Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these stories, these true stories about what you have done throughout history. We thank you for stories like about this woman who was an outsider. We can relate to her. And yet, Lord, you love her, you cherish her, and you bring her in. Lord, I pray for us that we would, if we don't aren't part of your family, that we would join. And that we are, we would experience what it means to be part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing we see in this passage that really jumps out to me is that Jesus loves anyone and everyone always. Jesus loves anyone and everyone always. So how do I get that? Well, I told you this woman, she's a Samaritan. She's a Samaritan. And you've probably, if you've been around the church for any length of time, you've probably heard about Samaritans on some level. You've heard the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told, but maybe you don't know what the deal with Samaritans are. Right there in the passage, it says that Jewish people like Jesus and Samaritans do not associate. And that's pretty much an understatement. They hated each other. They were enemies. They did not talk to each other. You see, the Samaritans were this ethnic group of people. So in the Old Testament, we're going to go way back. In the Old Testament, God had his people, the Israelites, the Jewish people. And God kept calling them, hey, follow me, follow me. And the Israelites kept rebelling against God, kept worshiping other gods, kept doing their own thing, kept not listening to the commands of God. And eventually God says, all right, enough is enough. I'm sending in other nations to conquer, to exile you, to carry you off as a discipline and a punishment for you refusing to listen to me, to follow me. And there were these nations come in like the Assyrians, and they come and conquer and carry off many of the Israelites. But some are left behind. Those that remain behind, they started to intermarry, which was a big no-no for God's people. Marrying other people, starting to practice other types, fusing the Jewish religion, the Israelite religion with other religions, doing other things, worshiping idols. And we see them being kind of antagonists to Jewish people. And so by Jesus' day, Jewish people generally viewed Samaritans as kind of a half-breed. That's a negative term. They would see, you're not true Israelites. You're not real Jewish people. And they looked down at them for that. They viewed them as political adversaries. They viewed them as traitors. They viewed them as heretics, blasphemers, that they did not worship the true God. And so for Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, a teacher, a man of great authority, someone like him would never, ever in a million years talk to a Samaritan. And what happens? Jesus sees this woman. He knows she's a Samaritan. It's not a surprise to him. He goes and talks to her. That is, if you were the apostles, we'll see later, the disciples, they were shocked. They were scandalized that Jesus would be talking to her. Also, she is a woman. And in our culture today, we're really wrestling with and fighting for equality for women and treating women with respect and dignity and all those different things that we should. In Jesus' day, women had no status in their society, very little status. If you were a man, the women you talked to were your family, your spouse, and that's about it. You did not engage in casual conversation, especially a rabbi like Jesus. You weren't making small talk around the well with a woman you did not know. And so now we see this woman, she is an outsider in her ethnicity, in her religion, in her gender, and even more so, she is an outsider morally. Jesus tells her, you have five husbands, and you're with a guy right now, a sixth guy, that's not your husband. That's against the law of God. So this woman is as outside can be. And yet, Jesus offers her living water. Jesus offers her to be part of his family. Jesus tells her, I am the Messiah. I don't know if you know this, but if you read the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' life, he tells very, very few people that he is the Messiah. In fact, a lot of times he's telling people, like, they'll see, like, hey, are you the Messiah? And he'll say, shh, 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 don't tell anybody. He does not tell many people. And yet, out of anyone and everyone that he could have told, he tells a sinner, a Samaritan, a woman, someone that is viewed as a heretic. That's who he chose. And so it reminds me that God loves anyone, that Jesus loves anyone and everyone always. Some of you feel like an outsider. You feel like you're on the outside looking in, how can God love me? How can God care for me? God loves you. God cares about you. Jesus came for you. He died for you. And he offers you the same thing he offers to this woman. He offers you life. He offers you living water. And he says, come, be an insider. Sit at my table. Be with me. And so for those of you who feel unloved, feel uncared for, God loves you. Jesus loves you. So we see that God loves everyone and anyone always. The second thing we see is that Jesus wants something for you, not from you. Jesus wants something for you. He doesn't need something from you. With this woman, one of the first things he does is he says, I've got something for you. I have living water. And she was confused, and you might be confused. What is living water? Living water, there's this idea throughout the scriptures about this water from God, this spiritual water, not H2O, but the spiritual water. And this idea is that it extends God's grace. It's the knowledge of God. It's the salvation of God. It's the cleansing work of God. We use water to clean. God uses it to clean our souls. But most importantly, right there it says living water. It's the idea that this water gives spiritual life. You know, water is really important. It's one of the building blocks for life. Everything that's living needs water. Plants need water. Dogs need water. You need water. We all need water. When we send out probes and rovers into space to different planets and moons throughout the solar system, what are we looking for? Water. Because if there's water present, there's possibility of life there. And for us, we need water physically for our bodies to live, but we also need water. We are spiritual. We have a soul, and that needs water too. That needs living water, life-giving power. And Jesus says, I want to offer that to you because this woman, she's thirsting. You know, physically, he tells her, you're coming here to this well every single day. You need water every day. You come here, you dip your jug down, you take it home, you drink, and the next day you're thirsty again. You have to come back and dip again. She has a thirst, but she has this other thirst that he points out too. And this is one of the reasons I love this story. He tells her about her failings, her need, all these five guys she's been married to that have ended in presumably in divorce and one new guy that she's with. And he doesn't use it to condemn her. He doesn't say like, too many husbands. No, she doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to her. He used it to point because she's thirsting. Some of us, we see ourselves immediately in this woman because this woman is thirsting. She has a need. She has a need for love. She's thirsting to be cared for. She's thirsting to be known and to know someone else. She's needs companionship, love, care, all those things that are good that can come out of a relationship. But she keeps returning, and she's not finding it in these men. She's not finding it in these relationships, in these marriages, but yet she keeps going back to that well. And she finds, she's just, is thirsty again. It's not fulfilling the need that's in her heart. All of us have a thirst. All of us have a need. Maybe we're with the woman. I'm looking for someone to love me, to care about me. And I keep looking in all these places and I'm not finding it. Maybe you're looking for approval. Man, if I just work, if I study hard enough at school, if I do good enough in all my classes, if I get into the right college, if I get the right job, maybe my parents, my peers, maybe they'll say, good job. Great, we're really proud of you. But you're searching and you can't quite find it. You're grasping at that. You're still thirsting. Maybe you're searching for purpose. Maybe if I earn enough, if I'm able to buy enough, if I'm able to provide enough for my family, if I get a good enough job or good enough this or that, maybe then I'll feel fulfilled, like my life had meaning and purpose. Sometimes we feel just the emptiness. We're stressed. We're under a crushing weight of responsibility. We think maybe we turn to alcohol. We turn to an addiction. This might make me feel better, to fill this void, this thirst, to quench this thirst that's in my heart. And we just find ourselves wanting. You know, whenever we try to find something apart from Jesus, if you try to find love in this world, I mean, you'll find something, but it's not really going to quench that thirst ultimately. You know, I've been married for coming up on 10 years, and Jess and I, we love each other. She's the love of my life. But I can't find ultimate, and I can't expect her to give me ultimate love, satisfaction, all those things I need. Even in this person that's my wife, my spouse. And Jesus says, I'm here. I can love you completely. I can approve of you and accept you completely. I can give your life lasting, eternal meaning and purpose, and it will never run dry. If you go to the well that is Jesus, he says, drink, and you'll have a spring, a well, a source of living water that wells up in you for eternal life. It'll never go away. It will never depart from you. And that's the beauty of Jesus, is he wants something for you. He's got it. He's waiting to give it to you. But some of us, we might feel, hey, I need to get things together before I go to Jesus. Maybe you're coming in here, you're newer to church, you're coming back, or you've been here for a long time, and you think, hey, before I follow Jesus, before I drink of the living water, I need to get everything together. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction, and you think, I got to get clean before I go to Jesus. Before I drink of the living water. Maybe you're involved in a relationship that you know is not good, is not healthy, is destructive, and not something that God would have for you. And you think, I got to figure this thing out before, then I will go to Jesus. I want to be put together before I go to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, that's not the way it needs to be. That's not the way it should be. In fact, you can't get clean. You can't fix your life apart from Jesus. You see, Jesus, he knew this woman's life. He knows your life. Whatever you're ashamed about, you're afraid to tell someone, you're afraid that someone might find out, Jesus already knows. It's not a surprise to him. It's not a scandal to him. It's not a problem for him. He says, let me help you figure that out. You see, you know when you're having a guest to your home, you know, like when my in-laws come to town, it's time to get the house in order. It's like, all right, kids, pick up all the toys. Let's clean the dishes. Let's vacuum everything, including the couch and the ceiling and things like that. Let's clean the stove, all that stuff. Because when they get here, we want to make sure that they come in and say, hey, they got it together. They know what they're doing. Even though, you know, moments before it was a disaster and things were on fire and all that stuff. We want to present ourselves in the best possible light. It's normal. Jesus is the house guest that walks in unannounced and says, hey, don't worry, I already knew this place was a disaster. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. Our lives are messy, and we're afraid that people might find out. We're wondering, can God possibly accept me? He already knows. There's no secrets from him. Jesus does not condemn this woman like, look at all these husbands. He says, you have a need, and I can actually fulfill it. You keep going to the same well over and over and over again. Come to me, and you'll never thirst again. And he offers her this thing and says, come be part of my family. You don't need to be all together. Just drink of the water. Give your life to me. Follow me. And that, remember in that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And Jesus says, follow me, and we'll sort out the mess together. We'll sort this out, and I'll help you. I'm here to help you. I've got something for you. He doesn't need a perfect life from you to get in. You can't have it without him. He says, I've got something for you. We'll sort the rest out later. In fact, what it says in the Bible in Romans chapter 8, here's what it says to be part of the family of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You see, we would be pretty thankful if we went to Jesus and he said, hey, drink of the living water. I'll give you life. I'll give you help. I'm going to help you clean up the mess of your life. And we'd say, great. I get eternal life. I get forgiveness. I get help. I get all these different things. We'd say, Jesus, that's amazing. That's enough. But he goes even farther and says, hey, if you drink of this water, I'm going to adopt you. My Father will adopt you into my family. You will be sons and daughters of God. Some of you in this room, you have adopted someone. Some of you in this room have been adopted. My best friend, he has 4 biological sons. They were 1, 2, 3, 4. And he just adopted two girls. He adopted 2 girls. So now they have 4 biological, 2 adopted kids, 6 kids. It's great. It's madness. But these girls, they are brought into the family. Even though they're not biologically related, they are not related by blood, they are as much his children as his 4 sons. There's no distinction. There's no distinction. And so that's for you. God looks at you, and when you drink of that water, when you give your heart to Jesus, when you follow him, he says, you're my kids now. You're in my household. But then he goes even farther. He says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. We have an inheritance in God. Co-heirs with Christ. We are there. We are as inside can be. So if you feel like an outsider for any reason, that's simply not true. If you drink of the water that Jesus offers, if you give your life to him, you are as inside could possibly be. So for some of you this morning, some of you you've not joined the family of God. You've not drank of that living water. And all I want for you, all I pray for you is that you would drink, that you would join the family, that you would say, Jesus, I know my life's a mess. You know my life's a mess. I need you. And that you would become sons and daughters of God, that you would join this family. If that's you today, you drink of that water. But for those of us who know Jesus, who are already part of the family, this woman gives us a kind of blueprint for how we can help invite others to the family. So here's the last point I have. We can invite everyone to the family table. We can invite everyone to the family table. When this woman experiences and drinks of the water, when she says, Jesus, I want this. And when he tells her, I am the Messiah. I'm the one you've been looking for. She drops her water jar. She runs back into town and she starts to tell everyone she knows, you got to come see. The Messiah's here. You got to hear. He told me everything that I've ever done. You got to come hear his message. And the people, they hear this testimony. They hear the woman's story. And they go out of town, they sit before Jesus, and it says that they begged him to stay for a few days. And over those 2 days, many more believed. But listen to this. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. You see, they came out because of what she said, her story. Here's what Jesus did. Here's what this guy did. Come and see. And they said, okay, let's go. They, from her story, all of you who know Jesus, any one of you that are part of God's family, you have a story. You have a testimony. God has done something in your life, and you can share that with other people. Use that as an invitation. But I love what they say at the end. Now we have heard for ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. There's so many people in your lives that are still outsiders. They have not yet joined the family. You know, I'm sure you're picturing that person in your life, that person that, man, I want this person to believe. I want this person to know Jesus. Maybe you're that person, you were invited by someone today. Maybe that's you. But think about that person. Your story is something powerful that you have to offer because you have experienced Jesus and you can help bring people to his feet so that they can experience him for themselves. That can be as simple as just sharing what God's done in your life. That could be as easy as saying, man, God's doing some great, incredible things in my life, and I want you to know about them too. Will you come to church with me and let them sit before the Lord and hear the word of God and that they might be changed too, brought to the feet of Jesus? So they can say, man, my friend invited me, and I went because they asked me, but now I know that Jesus really is the Savior of the world. It's incredible, and that's what you have as believers. You know, sometimes we're afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid of what people are going to say. But here's what Jesus says. You know, in the midst of this story, the disciples return, and they're, like I told you, they're scandalized that Jesus is talking to this Samaritan woman. What are you doing with this outsider? And Jesus says, hey, my food, what I need to do is to do the will of God and finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It is still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. I picture Jesus up on the hills out there, looking out over Danville, Alamo, the San Ramon Valley, and telling us the exact same thing. The field, look at this, there's a harvest. I'm preparing people. I've prepared their hearts. I'm working in them. And all you need to do is go out there and share me. Share your story about what I've done in your life. And they'll come. They're ready. So today, maybe if you're not part of the family of God, all I want for you to do is to drink of that water and join our family. You know, in God's family, the door is wide open. There's no locks. There's a seat at the table for you. And for those of us who are already seated in God's kingdom, in God's family, my ask of you is that you would think about that person or all those people in your lives that are still outsiders and share your story. Ask for God for an opportunity to share what he's done in your life and invite them in. Invite everyone to the family table. You know, I told you at the top that I felt like an outsider. I'm still most of those things that made me feel like an outsider. I haven't been able to figure out the height thing yet. I still was a band president. I still, you know, not athletic or any of those things. But what I've learned and what I've grown in and how I've changed is more and more each and every day. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm a son of God. I know that I'm part of God's family, that no matter how in this world I feel like an outsider, in the family, the eternal, everlasting family of God, I'm as inside can be. And nothing will change that. I can be fulfilled and nourished with that living water and have eternal life with Jesus. And I pray for that for you as well. In a moment, actually, you'll probably notice we're going to partake of communion. And communion really is a family meal where we come to the table and we remember Jesus' death on the cross and how he paid the price and paved the way for us to drink of that living water. So maybe today, you're going to join the family. For the first time, you're going to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm going to drink of the water. I'm joining the family. And today might be your first day joining the family of God at the table. And we invite you and welcome you with open arms. I'm going to lead in a little prayer. If that's you, you can just confess those things to God. But right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the stories of these people. These people that in many ways are just, they're like us. And Lord, we might identify with these people. This woman who is so needy and felt like such an outsider. And yet, Lord, you saw her, you loved her, you had a gift for her, and you brought her into your family, to the family table. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room this morning that needs to join the family, I pray that they would. And if that's you today, you can pray a simple prayer like this, confessing your need, telling God, asking for that. You would say something like this. You could pray this in your own heart. Lord Jesus, I have a thirst that I cannot quench on my own. I need you, and I want to be part of your family. Lord, I know my life's a mess, and I give that over to you. Lord, help redeem it, help change it, help transform me. Thank you for dying for my sins, for my forgiveness, and raising from the dead, guaranteeing eternal life and new life in you. If you prayed that prayer today, please feel free to share that with us. Please tell us. Let someone know. And Lord, as we close, help us to find, if there are people in here that aren't ready, Lord, I pray that they continue to just sit before you and that one day they would join your family. And Lord, for the rest of us, that we would know you, and that we would share the story that you've given us, the story of you in our lives with others, and that many, many more would come join us in your family. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.